Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Larson.
What?
We've been over 182,000. For about, I don't know, 12 hours, I think.
Consistently?
I think so. Last night, I think we were like 100.
I thought we went back down a little bit.
We went back down a little bit last night.
Under 182?
Yeah.
No, it'd be 182 for three straight days.
Yeah, I know. Well, that begins this morning.
Yeah.
So if by Sunday morning we're still here.
Then it's time for a sub party.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So Sunday.
Sunday morning.
Well, I'm not coming here on Sunday, so maybe Monday we'll do something.
All right, Monday we'll do something. Should be a lot of fun. Anyways, we're also available on Patreon, patreon.com/ Steve and Larson. We've got 17 people watching right now. I think it might be more than that. Is it more than that? Yeah. What did yours say? Yours says 16. We're trying like a new thing with our lovely patrons, and I think it's generating a lot of resentment. So that's what you can expect with the Patreon. We're doing pre-shows, post-shows, we're doing these podcasts
but different places. We're trying to make our workflow easier, but it makes things more difficult for our patrons. So there's going to be...
Exactly.
We have to work this
out. But if you're
out.
A new patron, you'll never know like how the old ways were.
How easy it used to be.
Exactly. So, anyways. But we have other stuff like a t-shirt and postcards and stuff like that. And we're also Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw.
We also got a live show coming up in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. September 24th.
Yes. This is going to be a lot of fun. So if you guys are in Southern California, we have a live show with Brian Zane. Us, that means us on stage. You can come meet us, shake our hands, give me a two sweet, give Larson a good old pat on his back. Say, hey, buddy.
I'll shake hands.
Yeah, that's good. So it should be a lot of fun. We're going to be doing like a live review of something called Tag Team.
Yeah, it was a pilot for a television show that never aired.
Which you can actually check out if you just YouTube Tag Team.
Yeah, Roddy Piper's in it.
Jesse Ventura's in it. It's available to see. You guys can check it out.
So, watch it. Come to the show. We'll all talk about it.
Yeah. So anyways, I just realized I didn't hit record on that. So should I get up right now and do that? The whole point of getting this stream deck from Elgato is that I don't have to get up. I'm just going to get up. I'm going to do it.
There you go.
I'm back. Look at that. Just like that. Anyways,
Let's talk about SmackDown. That's why we're here, right?
Yes, Sin City SmackDown Live.
Quality show last night.
Vince McMahon. Yeah, huge show last night.
Very good. Very, very entertaining from top to bottom.
Yeah, big time show last night.
Show starts with Kevin Owens. Coming out and dropping a promo, and he again says that he's going to sue WWE. Mm-hmm. And then when he does, when he's running the show,
yeah,
redubbed the Kevin Owens show,
mm-hmm.
says the first person he's going to fire,
mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn.
Whoa.
That's not a huge surprise.
That's pretty rude, though.
Oh, it is.
You know, that's like supposed to be his buddy.
Well, they used to be buddies.
Yeah.
And then he says, Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton, I'm not going to fire you. I'm going to make you wear the same suit.
Yeah.
And not... Each of you have to wear the
same
suit.
You're not going
to
be twinning.
You're going to share one suit.
Yeah, because he says on TV, you guys sound the exact same, so you might as well just wear one suit. You're the same person. That was funny. Corey Graves got a big kick out of that.
Yeah, he did.
It was kind of interesting. You got sort of a glimpse into Kevin Owens' predilections, what he likes, what he doesn't like, throughout the entire episode.
Really did.
For example, he really seems to like Aiden English's singing voice.
He does.
So much so that he wanted Aiden English to sing.
He invited him to sing the theme song to the Kevin Owens show, yes.
Exactly. I like that Aiden English doesn't talk anymore. It's one of those weird things where, like, they do this with backstage segments sometimes. Somebody will, like, walk up to somebody, and they'll start talking, and the guy won't have any natural vocal responses. They'll just have to do, like, the old-timey miming thing. Like,
yeah.
But anyways, I don't know. It was funny. So anyways, yeah.
He also says that the Fashion Files canceled.
Yeah, I like the throwaway line there, too. He says, I don't get it. It's canceled.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the humor of the Fashion,
of the Fashion
did you,
Files.
Hey, did you watch the 205 Live last night?
I haven't
night?
Watched it yet.
Okay.
I know. I saw what happened.
You heard about what happened with Drew Gulak?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was really good.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Finally, though, he calls out Vince. Instead, we get Shane McMahon's music, but we don't get Shane. Who do we get, Steve?
We get
Dolph.
Dolph Ziggler.
We get Dolph. He went to the merch stand and got one of Shane's jerseys and put that on, and then
there were two Dolph segments.
At least this one was short.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dolph does his thing. Kevin Owens said it's nice to see someone of actual talent up on the ramp there. That's how we know it's not Shane McMahon.
I know. Again, one of Kevin Owens' predilections likes Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the rest of us.
Yeah.
No. You know what? I love Dolph Ziggler. It's just, and here's the thing. So he had another long segment last night,
yes,
where he was doing entrances again. And the only reason why I sit there mildly entertained is because it's Dolph and it's so bad. For some reason, Dolph, when he's really bad, I just sit there and just marvel at how bad he
can
be.
You know why I sit through those segments? Because I want to gauge the audience reaction.
Well, I mean, is there lower than zero on your scale
of
audience reaction?
No, that's what it gets. It's nothing.
Yeah, it gets zero. The needle does not move.
Not at all.
You're sitting there looking at your scale like, is this thing on?
I know.
I like that. I like when he yelled in the face of like a 1.5-year-old. Do you notice that? There's like a toddler there. And during his actual segment, he like looked at him. He said, are we having fun now? Like right into his face. Toddler didn't bat an eye either.
No one cares.
No reaction from the
toddler.
No
one cares.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to the opening of the show. Daniel Bryan comes out after Dolph leaves.
Yeah.
And says, well, Mr. McMahon is going to show up later. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be happy with what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Owens says, when I run this place, you're going to be the janitor.
Yeah.
Stealing storyline points from Fun Wrestling.
I know. What the heck? I'm telling you, man, there's been so much in the WWE these days. Oh, man. Forgot my water over there.
You have to get up again.
Dang it. You know what we should do? We should power rank top 5 reasons for me to get up. Look at this. Power rankings. Look at that. Anyways. Were we talking about Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No,
so anyways,
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan. Yeah, he does that. Where's your notes?
On the page that says
what
notes.
What happened then?
No, that was it. It just kind of ended.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Then we had the AJ Styles open challenge, this time against Ty Dillinger.
It wasn't an open challenge. He said it was an open challenge only to Ty Dillinger.
Well, it's a restricted open challenge.
It's not an open challenge at all.
Restricted to one person.
It's just a challenge. Okay. There's no open aspect to it.
Look, man, I'm just going by what AJ said.
Yeah, no.
I kind of believe AJ's been in the business longer than you, so I'm going to go with what AJ has to say.
Fine.
So AJ said, because next week's not going to be either, as we found out at the end of this match.
Well, technically, from AJ's standpoint, it's still an open challenge, but Baron's the one saying, I'm going to be your opponent unless someone steps in front of him.
So, again, we got a commercial break during this one.
Yeah, this is really starting to upset me. This is a title match.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a commercial break during a title match.
There was another one during the women's match.
Mm-hmm.
But not one, I think, during the New Day Usos.
No,
I forget.
There was not.
That was a heck of a match.
Yeah, it was.
Anyways, AJ Styles, Ty Dillinger was a decent match, too.
Yeah.
That was a good match.
It was. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
About halfway through, Corbin runs to the ring, eats a phenomenal forearm. Actually, more than halfway through, towards the end. Ty hits AJ with his tiebreaker, but AJ kicks out.
Yeah.
And then Ty just taps out to the calf crusher again. I was really hoping they wouldn't just replay the finish of their previous match, like Ty would get in the calf crusher and act like he's about to tap out and then just pivot his body and get to the ropes and actually have a different finish.
Mm-hmm.
Give Ty a bit more time in the ring, but didn't happen.
He's a good hand, that Ty Dillinger. I think that's all he was ever going to be. I mean, I think at the end of the day, when they look at... Triple H says that a lot, too, at the end of the day. Most wrestlers say that a lot.
Yeah,
what do they
so.
Say? They say at the end of the day, and they say... Well, they say, let me tell you something, and they say... Oh, what's the other thing that they always say, the one phrase? Oh, man, I forget now. There's one thing that every single wrestler always says. Anyways... I think that, you know, when they're doing call-ups, I mean, you know, because Vince is obviously involved in call-ups, probably much to the chagrin of Triple H. But they say, okay, well, Ty Dillinger, could he have had a good run with the NXT title? Possibly. You and I both think that he could have had a really good story going to the NXT title.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, footy, you know, they probably look at him and say, well, let's be realistic here. Should we use that NXT title to build up somebody who we know has title potential on main roster? Or do we look at Ty Dillinger and say, he's a good hand. I don't really see anything else there. Because I'm not sure Ty Dillinger ever had, like, I don't even think he had Intercontinental. I just don't see it with him. I really don't.
Well, you don't really know fully. You don't know what he can do carrying a belt until you put a belt on him.
Ah, you know that's not true.
Not necessarily.
You know that's not true. It's not what they can do once the belt's on him. It's what they do to get to the belt.
I agree with that. But if the idea is you look at Ty and it's like, I don't see him as a champion of any sort. I would counter with, well, you saw his grassroots appeal in NXT. He got himself over.
Yeah.
And that, before he even showed up on Main, that 10 chant was on Main.
Yeah, I know, but come on, dude.
And so you don't really know. I'm not saying you put the belt to elevate him.
Yeah.
But at certain points, when someone gets popular enough, you have to roll the dice and say, no, we got to put a belt on this guy to see what he can do with it.
I agree with that. And look, I'm not agreeing with the way that I'm saying it right now. I'm sort of, I guess, once again, playing devil's advocate.
Well, this isn't the debate show, Steve. You don't have to do that here.
Well, sorry. I'm just looking at it probably maybe from how they look at it.
Oh, potentially.
You know, how Vince probably looks at it. Like, okay, well, there's this guy. It's kind of like, well, we're going to talk about the lack of Bobby Roode here in a moment. I mean, we can talk about it at any time.
Yeah.
But that's a case where we really have to talk about, did the Glorious Song completely kill him before he started? In terms of the long term,
it could be.
That
I think
completely kill him.
I think much like Vince probably saw how Ty's 10 chant was super over and brought him up. I would think mostly because of that, he saw how Bobby Roode's theme was super over and wanted that on his show.
Yeah. Because now he wasn't even, and I know it's going to happen.
It's 2 weeks in a row he hasn't been on the show.
Dolph is going to come out next week or the week after and do this stuff. He'll have a match with Dolph at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Dolph is going to come out, he'll probably do Bobby's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby himself will come out. Mm-hmm. And he'll be big face, and they'll have a match at Hell in a Cell. Bobby will go over.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go down. After that, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, they'll have another match on SmackDown at least.
They'll have a match at Hell in a Cell. It won't be great. Then they'll have a better match on SmackDown the next night or two nights later. With Ty, like, dude, you and I like Ty. Like, he seems like the most normal guy. Seems like the most us guy on the roster. And I mean, on one hand, that's great. On the other hand, I don't know. I just, you know, you have to come to reality sometimes with certain people. And it's like, you know what? I just don't see them thinking much in terms of Ty's ceiling.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
That's just how it is. Sami Zayn's a completely different story. Like, you and I can sit here and debate Sami Zayn all day long, and I'll agree with half the points you make. It's just, you know, I kind of agree with the idea that Vince probably see Sami Zayn as, well, people are going to get behind him whether or not he wins or loses. Let's put the belts on people that the people will get behind when they have the belts.
Well, that's kind of a contradiction then when you say you don't put belts on people to get the people over.
I think Vince is a walking contradiction.
Hmm.
He took a headbutt yesterday.
Yeah.
Nasty headbutt.
And he bled even though it's well, I'm not entirely.
Yeah, we should
that's
debate
his
that
actual
week,
blood. But anyways, he's not supposed to be any more bleeding, and yet he bleeds.
I'm just not sure how they do a blood packet. That didn't make any sense.
It'd be like a little squib that they put on his head.
Like a seriously... No, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
And then just have like makeup over it.
We'll talk about it when we get there.
I don't know if these things exist, but...
Yeah.
Just knowing... Because it didn't look like a cut. That's why I thought. Anyways, yeah, continuing on. So Ty taps out the Calf Crusher after the match. AJ and Ty shake hands. Mm-hmm. Sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin comes in and attacks them both.
I mean, I like that AJ made Ty look like $1 million. He can do that with everybody.
And the handshake will do a lot for Ty if he's ever on TV in the next 3 weeks. Before people forget about
But
that.
If a guy, I'll put it this way. If a guy like Rusev can't get any title love over the past 12 months, man, what are the chances that Ty Dillinger is going to get any title?
I thought he should have stayed in NXT.
Yeah, I know. But now, I mean, he'd probably be even more buried now because of Undisputed Era. That's
a terrible name.
Awful name.
Terrible name.
Anyways, Baron Corbin comes down.
He gets on the mic and says, "Hey, man.
Hey, AJ.
I'm going to answer your challenge next week."
He said, "No, man." He said this. He said, "Hey, AJ, when you wake up, and AJ's eyes are clearly open. He's just dazed. When you wake up, your U.S. Open challenge next week, I'm your opponent. You're not me. He didn't say that last part, but I'm pretty sure I recited that verbatim because it was so oddly phrased. Next week, your U.S. Open challenge, I'm your opponent. It's not an open challenge.
He's like, I'm going to be me. Wait.
It's like, well, the it's like, what is he? I mean, you know, I wish AJ would have been like, dude, just be a gorilla when I come out. Like, anybody can do it.
I know. Here, I'll go get you before like, my match starts. Hey, you stand at gorilla.
It's up to you, man. It's up to you. Just stand at gorilla.
No, literally, like AJ says, okay, you really want the shot? Come with me.
Yeah, I know.
Stand right here.
Stand right here. And then he gets there, and all of a sudden, oh, Sammy's already there. Sorry.
Oops. Try again later.
He's been waiting in line.
Yeah.
He's been waiting in line. There should be a, like, that should be like a...
There should actually be a line like six people deep when they get to gorilla.
I know. I agree. Anyways. Hey,
next.
Hey.
Interview bot was interviewing Rusev.
She was a bit more... I thought that she was making some progress. Last night she was even more robotic than usual.
Yeah, it really was.
Wow, what a great thing for SmackDown Live. Now, we will be talking with my interview subject I have been programmed to speak with, Rusev.
Well, you're putting on way more motion than she did.
Yeah, I've got more life than she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to... Wake up! I have a five-hour energy or something.
I know. It made the whole segment seem sleepy.
I think it really did.
I think Rusev was supposed to be intense and engaging, talking about going back home to Bulgaria and no one wanting to be around him because he lost to Randy Orton at SummerSlam in like 10 seconds.
She was putting him to sleep, dude.
But he said he's gonna come back and he's going to beat Randy Orton.
So you went to Bulgaria? And he says, yes, I went to my family. Yeah, and they said, you're a loser.
That's the wrong accent.
I know, it's Austrian. It's Austrian. Arnold. He said, I went to Bulgaria. He says, I wanted to be around people that love me, but instead they said that I'm a loser and that I'm an embarrassment.
He says, Rusev's no loser.
He said, Rusev's no loser.
He's going to beat Orton.
Rusev's great. He looks like a dictator or something. Like, I mean, he was standing there just like in perfect 3/4 profile.
I know.
And like he was lit oddly perfectly in that great beard of his, and he just sticks out his chest. He looks so great.
Yeah, he's great.
But Rusev is no loser.
That's the wrong accent again.
Hey, it's the only one I could do from like that whole area,
that part of
the world. Like, I can't do really. Can I do a French accent? I can't really do a French accent. Well, I don't know. How close is Bulgaria to Austria? Not very. But France is closer to us than like Bulgaria and Austria are further away than France is to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're like, I'm just saying, like, I can do a British accent.
Yeah.
Further away you are.
Oh, from here than the less likely is it for you to do a Russian accent. Let's just move on regardless.
Yeah, it's Jinder Mahal came out and became a giant racist. okay, so I understand the premise. Number one, those Singh brothers, they were on extra showcase hand duty last night. It was
really... Well, they were just kind of going overboard in everything.
Yeah, I know. The laughing and everything. I'm sorry. I totally just blew out the mics. I hope I didn't mess that up. Anyways, so Jinder comes out. Number one, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before. Man, I love his theme song so much.
It's good.
It is so catchy.
He had a nice suit on last night, too.
Oh, he looks great. Man, he looks great. He is such a great-looking individual. Anyways, so he comes out with the Singh brothers, and... I understand the premise of what he was trying to do. They show a bunch of stills of Shinsuke and his various faces that he makes. And he clowns them to varying degrees. Like in the Singh brothers are just beside, they're just cracking up laughing. He calls them, this is his constipated face. This is his, this is when he's dreaming about being Michael Jackson face
something like that.
And then the last one he said, this is when Godzilla's attacking. And then he stopped and said, do you understand that they're all laughing and that's what they're going to do to you when they see somebody that's basically from a different culture, from a different ethnicity, a different country, is that the Americans will all laugh at you. They will all sit here and chant USA. I understand the premise of what he was doing. He was basically being a giant racist in order to say, this is what you're facing because that's not me, but we're kind of in the same boat. I'll let you learn
from what's happening.
Well,
to
then he
me.
Also said you don't want to be in the spot because of that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I understand the. I just think the execution could have been a tad more. There should have been a bit more delineation between him with, like, you know, doing that stuff, the jokey stuff, and then him stopping dead. Because it flowed into it too much, and you had to sort of figure out, oh, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there was like a dead stop, and then he looks like dead into the camera, and they did one of those great close-ups on that amazing face of his, then I think that would have been executed a bit better. Otherwise, it was just like, did I just see what I thought I did? Jinder was like super racist towards Nakamura. Because he said the Godzilla, but he did it with the English thing, you know, that thing. And so... Anyways, I kind of like the idea of it, like trying to appeal to Nakamura on that level. Hey, we're both foreigners. I mean, he's what, from Canada?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you know, they bill him from India. We're both foreigners, and you're gonna face this huge, you know, problem with Americans being essentially racist. And so, I like the idea of it. I just think the execution was kind of wonky.
Yeah, it was.
So. When he said, you know, Godzilla, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was my reaction too.
He said it with Gusa.
I know.
I was at the gym on the treadmill. I was like.
I was watching it at home and I was like.
I just started going backwards.
And at first I was like, are you saying the treadmill? You start going backwards. Exactly. When I heard that, I was like, did I just hear that right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Woo. Anyways, you look great though.
Yeah.
Those Singh brothers, man. I'm telling you, if I can get a couple of dudes following me around. All day long.
So anyways, backstage.
Modern day Maharaja.
We go backstage. There's Kevin Owens talking to, I guess, a WWE employee, someone that works backstage. And he's detailing a list of things that he wants when he assumes power. He wants a private plane for his wife and his family.
Yeah.
He wants a limo. No, two limos.
Yeah, for his friend Jimmy.
So on and so forth. And he goes, oh, hold on a second. Sami Zayn's over there. And Kevin Owens tells a story about how they were driving through a blizzard in Ohio or something, and they made a promise to each other about getting to the WWE.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens says, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to tell you right here, that you're going to be fired, and you have my permission not to uphold your end of that promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good moment.
Yeah, it was a good moment. I liked it.
And Sami Zayn just told him, I don't want, if you're running this place, well, I'd rather work in the armory anyway.
Yeah, I'd rather work there at the armory. Anyways. Next up, we had match of the night.
Oh, yeah.
New Day versus the Usos in a Sin City street fight. Man, these guys laid it all out there. We're talking tables. We're talking kendo sticks being destroyed over people's
backs. Oh, my
gosh. Dude, it was awesome.
It was fantastic.
Like, at first,
these two teams should wrestle every week.
Every week. Every week. Just trade those titles every week so we always get rematches. I think it'd be fantastic.
The New Day's ring gear looked fantastic.
Magnifique.
Up, down, down.
Magnifique.
Ring gear. Awesome.
Beautiful.
They consistently have the best ring gear.
Why don't we have going in Raw ring gear? When I say ring gear, I mean dressing. Oh, we do. I guess I got that shirt.
Yeah, we have t-shirts.
You know, I wore this. Let's talk about. Well,
wait till the Dolph segment.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because we know that's where it's going.
That makes sense.
So do you want to get like a singlet?
Mm-hmm.
Huge going in Raw logo.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Some other trim.
Shoulder pads. I want entrance attire.
Oh, the full
shoulder pads.
The full deal.
Yeah, maybe even a helmet of some sort.
Will you be sporting a singlet, trunks, or tights?
I would think is I'm more of a Big E guy,
yeah,
so I'm thinking a singlet. Yeah,
I'll do tights.
Yeah, that works. That's good.
That's all good.
You need to get one of them concave chests like Kofi. It's like nothing, and then peck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I was watching this. Netflix has a new show called The Confession Tapes.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. It's a big bummer, man. Everybody's out to get you. That's what I learned from that. They're all out to get you. Somebody gets murdered. Doesn't matter if you did or not. You're going away.
Mm.
I don't know why I brought that up.
No, anyways, either. This was a great match.
Yeah, it was a great match.
Kofi destroyed a kendo stick over both the Usos. It shredded,
rad.
Basically. There was shards of kendo stick going
so
everywhere.
Good. So good.
Kofi did his trust fall off the top rope. I love that so much.
Dummy Ray, one of our patrons here in chat, brought up a good point. It was a street fight, Larson.
A Sin City street fight.
Why didn't they have jeans on?
Well, I mean, you want to
think that if anybody,
if you went through the expense of making that awesome up, up, down, down ring gear, you got to wear it.
But you'd think if anybody would pull off some goofy variation of jeans while referencing jeans, it'd be the New Day because it's a street fight.
It's not universal. It's
close.
It's not nearly universal for a street
fight.
You wear jeans.
99.99 is jeans.
I don't think it's 100% across the board.
Whoever stopped that tradition, because in the mid-aughts, it was always jeans for street fights.
Yeah.
For like in the entire aughts. Whoever stopped that tradition really needs to be.
Vince never wore jeans for street fights, did he?
He wore black jeans. He wore black jeans and then black jeans.
Cut off. Yeah. Sure, yeah, that's right. Anyways, the Usos catch Kofi while he's doing his trust fall and like throw him into the barricade.
Yeah, you know what? I noticed, and it kind of fit with the street fight aspect of the match. There were a couple
spots that felt a little sloppy, potentially.
TJP freaking nearly paralyzed Rich Swann last night.
Oh, really?
Dropped him damn near on his head. Yeah, both of them, like the ref and TJP were like. There were like two. I think there were two sloppy moments that I was like, that was kind
of
ugly.
It was that one. There was one of the Usos took a tumble outside the ring and hit pretty hard.
Oh, yeah. Because he, like, no foot landed.
Yeah.
On the apron when he went out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That looked nasty, too.
Yeah. Towards the end of the match, Kofi pushes Jay off the top rope and through a table.
That looked great.
Yeah. And then New Day pick up the win with Midnight Hour, new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Four time at this point, right?
Yes.
I think they're four time.
Records nine. Six more reigns to go.
Yeah. I hope a couple more of those have to do with the Usos, man. I can watch these tag teams go at it all day long. We're going to get at least one rematch coming up soon.
Yeah, I would hope at Hell in the Cell and they do some sort of Uso penitentiary type match.
I would think they're going to go out
of Steel Cage inside of Hell in the Cell.
Absolutely. That's going to be fantastic.
Great.
Looking forward to seeing it. Anyways, next up we had Natalya versus Naomi.
For the SmackDown Women's title.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. Carmella came out with James Ellsworth on a leash this time. I like that she was kind of downplaying that he even was there because they're like, what's going on over here? She's like, nothing. What? Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Nothing. And Ellsworth, idiot. Anyways, Natalya went over clean here, after being distracted by Carmella and Ellsworth.
Yeah, she was distracted. Naomi did a springboard plancha onto Carmella and Ellsworth.
I'm glad Carmella was back in her singlet.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it? With the big dollar sign on it?
Yeah, that looks great.
She looks like the coolest looking supervillain or superhero in that outfit, like the big dollar sign.
I know.
She is immaculately designed.
Yeah.
Designed.
Yeah.
She looked great.
This is a good match, too. Naomi was doing some really cool athletic stuff.
Yeah. But she lost clean. Tapped out to the sharpshooter.
I know.
So they're moving on from Naomi.
Seems that way.
I like this Natalya Carmella thing. I mean, at this point, Carmella's got to be the heel, so you need Natalya to be kind of the face. So I can see why they're sort of dispatching with Naomi right now. But I think Naomi, look, a lot of people, you know, don't believe this or don't, you know, share my view on this. I think Naomi did pretty decent as champion.
Yeah, I think she did too.
I think from where she was before to where she is now, I think she's pretty good. I think she did good.
I agree.
All right.
We're both huge Naomi fans.
We like Naomi.
A lot.
Yeah.
Backstage with Aiden English, he's practicing his singing.
La, la, la,
in walks
la, la.
Kevin Owens. He invites Aiden English to sing the new theme for the Kevin Owens show, which Aiden English just does on the spot. He improvises some lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. I think he just said, ladies and gentlemen, let's go. It's the Kevin Owens show. Something like that.
Now we're on to the Dolph segment. So he comes out and starts talking about entrances and is that what you people want? And then he goes backstage, comes out, and he does Bayley's entrance.
Yeah.
And then he apparently yells at a child.
Yeah, he yelled at a child.
And then goes backstage and then comes back out.
Because he says,
Ultimate Warrior thing.
He says something like, you people like all flash. Number one, like.
He keeps on saying, no one can do what I can do inside that ring, which isn't true.
And it's not even. He says that, but he also just says, you know, these people that he's doing these entrances for. Evidently, like, aren't even good. Like, he mentioned that with Bayley's entrance. Like, you know, you don't even have to be a good wrestler to have this entrance. And I'm like, Bayley's actually a pretty decent wrestler.
Yeah, she's a pretty good wrestler.
You let her go at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw his point with Ultimate Warrior. That was kind of weird, though.
Yeah,
wasn't
Dana Warrior was ringside.
I think she was for the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
Maybe she was back. Regardless, she was in the building somewhere.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird.
That was awkward.
A little bit. But I kind of saw his point on that one.
Dolph runs down to the ring with a warrior face mask and some tassels on his arms and starts shaking the ropes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's your fun entrance.
And then, gets in the ring and again says, just care about entrances. No one can do what I can do in this ring.
And I was really hoping at that point we'd finally just get the dong.
I know, glorious.
Yeah,
Bobby Roode another week off. He wrestled his last NXT house show this past week.
Yeah.
And said, this is your NXT now.
Yeah, I know.
So face turn in NXT even.
Face turn in NXT. And then he tweeted out something like just patience or something like that.
We're impatient, Bobby Roode.
Yeah, I know. Like, dude, they not. I would be so worried had they done this with Nakamura. You know what I mean? Like, I'd have been like, oh my gosh. So I honestly don't know the deal here. I mean, I don't. Maybe hold him off TV to build anticipation more, like absence makes the heart grow fonder, maybe.
You can have two storylines going. You can have Dolph doing this thing, Bobby even just, you know, racking up some wins while Dolph's doing this thing, and just have them intersect in a couple weeks. You don't have to hold Bobby off TV unless they just had him off TV because he had to fulfill a few dates.
I mean, I understand. I don't know exactly. I understand. Okay, here's the thing. This is what you do. Like, so Dolph did his thing last week. He chopped that in half because it didn't need to be nearly that long.
No.
Right?
Really, he should just come out as, you know, doing right. one impersonation.
This week, yeah, make your point with each of your, with like, make a specific point with each entrance, but you can do one a week.
And not belabor the same point over and over.
This week, he did the Shane McMahon thing. That's all you needed from him, right? That's all you needed from him. Instead of this Dolph Ziggler promo, why not give Bobby like a 2 week feud or a 2 week program with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a heel that's just sort of milling about doing nothing. I don't know who. Have him take on the Ascension 2 week, like each of the Ascension 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to establish that, okay, you want to have him face, he's face. And then, you know, he's fresh on the audience's mind. He's racking up wins against the Ascension, two guys that nobody really cares about. And if you make them sort of goofball heel, people will be even more entertained that Bobby's getting these wins. They're not just boring heels.
Yeah.
We've seen them be goofball heel with the Fashion Police. And so you do that. You cut back on these Dolph Ziggler promos that just go on too long. And then when he comes out like next week with the Bobby Roode entrance, you have Bobby Roode come out and say, okay, boom, this is it.
And say you want to wrestle someone who you think is all flash, substance. Let's go at it.
I'm your guy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hell in a Cell. Let's do it.
You think you're glorious? No, you're not. Something like that. So, like, there's a way to keep Bobby on TV.
I know. I don't know why they're not doing it.
And at the same time, make the show feel even more packed with action, because that's what SmackDown is going for. It's only 2 hours. They try to pack in a lot.
Yeah, and they generally succeed.
Next up, we had the Hype Bro versus Benjamin and Gable.
Yeah, Benjamin and Gable win with a powerbomb bulldog thing. Well, Shelton Benjamin got Zack Ryder up in powerbomb position. Chad Gable tagged in on the second attempt.
They mentioned that they're...
And then did a bulldog as Shelton Benjamin powerbomb.
Yeah, they mentioned their tag team chemistry isn't like, is still developing
isn't
right
exactly
now.
There yet.
Because Shelton had, what's his face?
Zack Ryder in powerbomb position for a while.
For a long time.
So I think he was too far away from the ropes, so Gable couldn't tag in.
Yeah.
He started to walk forward and then had to walk back.
But Shelton's added a lot of muscle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think he knows. He's been around for a while. The older you get, the less athletic you're going to be. So he compensates with power. They noted that also last night. I was like, oh yeah, he has bulked up quite a bit. So that's cool. He also learned from Minoru Suzuki.
Yes. After the match, Mojo shakes hands with both Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder does not.
Hey, man, you
know what?
Instead
turns and walks out of the ring.
Yeah.
Poor sportsmanship.
On WWE.com or YouTube or something, or Twitter, whatever it was, they did a short backstage interview with Mojo to talk about that. And, dude, I'm telling you, man, Mojo is so good when he's just being earnest Mojo.
I know. He's very natural.
I did, however, like his weird Mojo animal moves to start the match, how he's just like doing moves to himself basically in
they
front
said,
of Chad
commentary
Gable.
Team said he does that to his opponent to gauge their reaction time.
He has his own little reaction meter, and for Gable, it was just sitting at zero because he's just sitting there,
just
like,
standing there just waiting for the whole thing to play itself
what
out.
What are you even doing, man?
After that, a little short thing, Vince McMahon arriving at the arena talking to Daniel Bryan. The whole time I watching this, I just thought, Daniel Bryan is just staring at this guy, and the only thing you think is, this guy made me retire.
I know! I was thinking the same thing!
Especially after they wrap up the conversation, Vince starts walking away, and Daniel Bryan just has that look on his face like, I really have to do this.
I know. Dude, I was thinking the same thing, because he's acting all kind of cordial and stuff, but I'm like, man, you know he's just so annoyed with him. Like, God, this is the last place I want to be with this crap. You know? Send me to Ring of Honor, man.
New Japan.
Yeah.
So anyways, it took us to the last segment of the show. Kevin Owens and Vince McMahon in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Vince tells Kevin Owens that the reason he suspended Shane was not because he put his hands on Kevin Owens. Because
he didn't finish the job.
He didn't finish the job. He talked about how he wished Shane had like apparently punched Kevin Owens so hard his fists went down into his abdomen and pulled out his liver.
And show it to you. I'm sad that Shane didn't kick you in the ass so hard that, what did he say?
Something about your bowels were.
Oh yeah, your bowels go spilling out all over the ring.
That's a bit much.
A bit much, Vince.
A bit much.
Laying it on a bit much.
Yeah. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror?
Whoa.
Hold on. But here's the thing, though. When
fat shaming right now?
Vince was going on about the lawsuit about how it's going to bankrupt Kevin Owens.
Oh, dude.
Who do you think he was really talking to?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That would tell me that was not a CM Punk reference.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think it was a reference. I think he was imagining CM Punk there instead of Kevin Owens.
I
think he
was, too. Whoa. I was thinking the exact same thing. There's a B associated with my name, and it's billionaire. When I'm done with you, there's going to be a B next to your name, associated with your name, bankrupt. Punk Owens.
Phil.
You're sitting there on the hopefully you're on speakerphone with your lawyer, and then I'm going to say these words.
Kevin Owens, you're fired me.
Yeah, he said if Kevin Owens files his lawsuit, he's going to fire him, which I don't think you can do. Like, if someone files a lawsuit against you and they're employed, you can't fire them in retaliation for filing a lawsuit. Can you do that?
Well, then Kevin Owens would have to file another lawsuit for wrongful termination, in which case he'd have to go bankrupt anyways. Vince's point is this.
That he can't outspend Vince. Yeah, I know.
He can't
Vince
can
litigate.
Vince.
Vince can litigate this to a point where it's a futile effort for Kevin Owens. Exactly. I understand that, but just like if I work for somebody and I thought I was done wrong by them and I sued that company, I don't think they could sue me just because I filed a lawsuit.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I could be completely wrong about that.
I know. I think you're right about that. I just don't know what recourse. Like, I mean, he could do the Daniel Bryan thing. You're under contract with me as an entertainer. Go out there and say you're retired.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. Then you're breaching your contract because you're supposed to do whatever I say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he can probably do something like that. I don't know.
Anyways. Vince says Kevin Owens versus Shane at Hell in a Cell in the cell. We all knew this was coming. It's probably be the main event.
Yeah.
And if the way they're going to build it is by doing this stuff, I'm on board that 100%.
Oh, so this is a storyline right now.
Oh,
this is top-notch A storyline. I'm totally fine with this because I think we're going to get it was announced, like you said, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, Hell in a Cell, then it's going to lead to Kevin Owens, Triple H. That's where this is headed to. That's what I think anyways. And that could be an interesting thing because Triple H was the one who gave him the Universal Championship.
Yeah.
So there you have some prior history, some conflict there that could be set up. Like, dude, I gave you the world and this is how you're treating. I gave you the world and this is how you treat my family.
Now, you just attack all the McMahons.
Right, exactly. He already put over Seth Rollins at WrestleMania last year. Who says he's not going to put over Kevin Owens this year?
Could be. So
next year.
Kevin Owens says, okay, I'll take that match, but I want your guarantee, your assurance.
If I get attacked by a McMahon.
Well, at first he says Shane specifically in the match. He wants assurance that during the Hell in a Cell match, he can do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Essentially to Shane in the cell.
Right.
I want your assurance that I could, if a McMahon lays his hands on me, that
provokes
me, then I could retaliate.
Yeah.
And Vince says, you have my word. And they shake hands. And Vince is talking at Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is there shaking his head and then headbutts him.
Yeah. Ooh.
Still not sure if that was real blood.
Dude.
I'm not sure.
I don't know how. Like, you literally see
the blood come up. I know. Pool. But I don't.
That's not possible. There's nothing right now that they can do.
That just seemed like it.
They literally got rid of Pyro. You think they're going to bring in Tom Savini to generate
I don't think that.
A time release?
No, it's not a time thing. It's just something that you put on. A little squib with some fake blood in it. You put it there. You cover it with makeup. And when there's the impact, it will break.
That impact was legit.
And then when it broke, it wasn't like a clean split. So I watched it. There were several little areas that opened up and blood started coming out.
It looked like, it looked like a really, really nasty. And if you look at the trajectory of Kevin Owens' head, it goes into him like this. And I'm pretty sure it was just a nasty, a really brutal scrape.
It could be, because I noticed too, I was really paying attention to the blood coming out, and it started to come up a little bit, it ran down, but there wasn't necessarily more coming out, which led me to believe it was a fixed amount that was placed in there.
Yeah.
And also Vince tells, you know, it's like $500,000 fine if you bleed legit, or if you cut yourself.
Oh, yeah, but come on. You know,
now, if you get busted by the hard way,
Lesnar,
it's not
Orton, and it's him. You know that's Vince. It's him doing it.
I know.
So for him to do it, it's fine. No, I think that was the hard way. That was absolutely the hard way. That's my belief anyways.
I'm unsure.
Because somebody said, like on Twitter, somebody's like, oh, that was a hell of a blood pack or something like that, or a blood cap. And then I was like, really? And then I looked at the replay, and I mean, are you suggesting that the force of the headbutt opened up the blood cap? I don't know. I think it would have been like an immediate sort of splat, because when Vince is laying there,
I know.
You see it go from nothing to blood.
I know.
And I just don't know that a blood pack would do that.
But I'd also think that if it were a legit split, it wouldn't be several spots at once.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about squibs and how that would work.
On top of that, I just get the gut feeling it's Vince McMahon.
That's a lot for a 70-plus-year-old man to put himself through.
He's doing it the hard way. Because here's the thing. Regardless if the blood pack was real or not, that was a real headbutt.
Yeah, it was a real headbutt.
You can't fake that, because that was one of those like knock-on. That wasn't like, hey, I'm going to hit right here. I'm going for that guy right there.
I know.
Yee, man.
So Owens headbutts Vince and then kicks him, super kicks him.
Yeah.
Gives him a frog splash.
Well, hold on. Adam Pearce comes out
and tries to say, Kevin, don't do this.
Did you notice? Should Adam Pearce get fired for not eating that?
Yeah.
Because, dude, he comes out, away. Kevin, don't do it. And then Kevin starts to launch, and Adam Pearce runs out of the way. Nah, man, you got to get on top of Vince and eat that.
Yeah, you eat that.
Yeah.
You climb up to the top rope and get him off.
Oh, I know. Come on, man. You're wrestling, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Give me a break. Get up there.
Anyways, it's a good visual nonetheless.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
and this whole time, Kevin Owens, I love this. This is my favorite thing about Kevin Owens, maybe, is that whenever
look on his face?
Yeah, he goes in that trance state when he's inflicting so much violence, sort of like he did during the end of the Festival of Friendship.
He
just disassociates himself completely. But at the same time, you can see the complexity of emotion that's going on behind that trance.
Right, right.
It's like he's doing it, and to a certain extent, you can tell he's enjoying it, but he also knows what he's doing is going to cause him a lot of problems down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of... I'm reading way too much of his performance, but I'd like to hope not. That's why he kind of disassociates himself from that experience as he's doing it.
Yeah. We have 54 people in the Patreon chat watching this right now. I'm going to put out a quick poll. Yay or nay, real or fake?
It could be
real. Yay, real blood, nay, fake blood. Curious to see
the way the blood came in terms of various little spots, and also it seemed to be a fixed amount. Just put the thought in my mind that maybe it was some sort of squib.
We're going to see what chat has to say.
I don't know enough about squib technology to make a conclusive case either way.
So then Kevin Owens leaves, leaving Vince in a pile. Stephanie McMahon, who's there for the Mae Young Classic, of course, she comes out with a very pissed look on her face.
Yes.
She stares down Kevin Owens. Now, there is a part of me that wanted Kevin to at least kind of hint that, hey, if you provoke me, I can do this to any McMahon. Because I thought that would have been really, really effective, including you. Because Steph can take a bump. You know what I mean? And so if there was that moment of, you're not immune from this, that I think would have been kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been kind of cool. But anyways, so chat seems to say yay. Michael Flowers in chat says nay. So you got one guy on your side. Then Vince was, he would not accept getting on a stretcher.
Yeah.
He walked out with Stephanie and a referee, I think, holding him up.
And he was saying that he was experienced rib discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Michael, Matthew B. Williams Esquire says, you're fired. Can't fire me. You're fired. Not fired. Anyways.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, let's answer some questions. Then we're going to do trivia.
Yeah, and then after that, chat trivia.
It's the latest sensation.
I got good news for you, Steve.
What's up?
Your birthday present has shipped.
Yes! Oh!
You have no idea what it is, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Hey, you know what I ordered last night? I got on the... What is the one that Baron Corbin does?
Oh, Blackcraft?
Yeah, and because Aleister Black now does that too. But they have some really cool... Like, they look kind of... There's some cool designs they have that look like... old EC comics, like the old sort of Tales from the Cryptish type stuff.
Yeah,
designs. And so I ordered one of those shirts
last night.
I'm very excited about it.
Nice.
Anyways, let's answer some questions.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Jack Dolan. Power rank. The reasons why Steve forgot to put up the...
You have to have this up the whole time we do the power rankings too, right?
Well, you wanted to do the flashing thing, right? Power rankings. Power rank why I forgot to put up the Q&A thread.
Number one, there's a lot of wrestling on last night.
That's true, yeah. Although
I almost forgot to put up WGPW because once I was like, okay, I have time to do stuff. Oh, wait, SmackDown's on. It's a huge episode. I thought I got to watch the Mae Young Classic. Actually, no, I was free at like 7:30. It's like, I got to watch the Mae Young Classic first so I can watch SmackDown because I got to watch more Mae Young Classic afterwards. And then someone tweeted at us. And I was like, Oh man, I forgot to put up WGPW.
I didn't even have the friggin' the I didn't even have a kid last night, and I forgot to do it. I forget what I was gonna say. I don't know. Anyways, next question.
Next question. Eddie Jose Glorious Menevar. Hey, friendos. He was a big fan of Shelton Benjamin when he debuted years ago. However, I see him now, and it's very noticeable that he has lost some of his in-ring greatness. He is older, but the mistake he makes in the ring get in the way of me believing he is the gold standard still. What do you guys think is going on with him? I mean, he's older.
Yeah, I think he's older. He didn't do any, as far as I know, he didn't do any dark matches to reacquaint himself with the WWE style.
I know, but he's been wrestling on the indies.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I understand that. But you got to figure there's probably, I doubt going from the indies, from Pro Wrestling Noah, and then hopping just back in the WWE without some get back to know you matches.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's a bit of a learning curve or relearning curve for the WWE style.
Oh, yeah, and also he's, what, in his early 40s, late 30s?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know he's doing all sorts of crazy, insane stuff. He probably just wants to tone that back a little bit for the sake of his own well-being.
And on top of that, he's with, you know, now he's doing tag team wrestling. So then you're adding more people into the mix. I would imagine there's going to be...
Just give it time. Wait till he kind of, as Steve says, is kind of reacquaints himself with WWE.
I think that's probably it. Because here's the thing also, like on the indie circuit, you can do a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It's like, well, now I got to sort of alter that. I got to tone down what I can do. I have no idea. I'm not a wrestler, but I would imagine there has to be some sort of like adapting to that style.
Here's something interesting. Nicholas Grosskirth, he said, do you think the blood last night was intentional? We talked about it already, but this is what, he said, it looks like just before the headbutt, Vince is egging him on. They were talking a bit back and forth. Vince was kind of barking at Kevin Owens.
He was barking at him, I know.
But I'm curious what the conversation was.
I don't know.
Man. Was that them going over the spot again? It's like, okay. I mean, Vince was doing his, then you know, like he's probably doing like, Kevin, remember to do this, but he's giving him instructions, but talking as if he's angry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he was getting geeked.
How
up.
Weird would that have been if backstage, you know, Vince and Kevin Owens were talking? And
to be going a fly over the, on that wall,
going over the spot, and Kevin Owens being a pro and be like, okay, I'll do that, but knowing at the same time that, you know, you're going to headbutt a 70-plus-year-old man. B, who is your boss, that's got to be intimidating.
And you know Kevin watches New Japan. He knows about Shibata. So let's just stop here for just a second and reiterate this or go back to this. How geeked out does Kevin Owens have to be?
Oh, he looks super geeked out, man. That's how he kind of prefaced his talk with Vince. He's like, being in this ring with you, you're kind of intimidating.
Yeah, yeah. But to be in there, it's kind of like his first Hell in a Cell match. Remember, he came out and it was kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Kind of obvious that he was like, I've been waiting for this moment for 20 years.
I imagine it'd be hard for him to be in those situations and not think to himself, all right, I've made it.
A little surreal. Yeah. A little surreal. A little weird. Yeah. That's great.
Jack Dolan, how do you feel about Hell in a Cell right now? I feel like there are actual feuds that belong in there, like Shane and Owens plus Usos and New Day. Yes, those two matches for sure will be in the Cell.
Jinder Nakamura, think it's going to be in the Cell?
You could motivate
it. You would think with the Singh brothers.
Exactly.
That's got to be it. That's got to be the thing. No, you're right. Every single one of these feuds that I can think of right now, anyways.
AJ Baron won't be in Hell in a Cell.
You don't need that for AJ Baron at all.
No.
You don't need it for Dolph Bobby if that's where they're going to go. You don't need it for the women's title match.
No.
Yeah, you don't need it that. But the big ones, you could totally see why Hell in a Cell.
But if you have Owens and Shane as a main event, then you don't need the WWE title match to be in the Cell.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it seems like at Money in the Bank, they were protecting Nakamura a bit since he'd never been in a ladder match before by having Corbin attack him during his entrance.
Yeah.
And have him go backstage for a bit. Finske, you're not me, Balamura. Hey, friendos, power rankings. Your estimated top five rising stars in WWE for 2018. Thanks.
Top five rising stars in WWE 2018.
Aleister Black, number one.
Aleister Black, Fade to Black.
He's going to be a huge star 2018.
Oh, massive star.
Whether it be in NXT or main.
Who do we really like in NXT? I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch is a tag team.
Yes, good
call.
They're
going to be huge, man. They're going to be so over.
Leo Rush.
Yeah.
He's selling his shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees for two more days.
Yeah, Adam Cole's are being discontinued very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't have the only Adam Cole shirt I like is his Bullet Club one.
Yeah,
but that's not on Pro Wrestling Tees. Or it's on. Maybe it's on New Japan.
Maybe it's
on
Ring of Honor's site. They have merch on their site.
Oh, that could be. That could be. Yeah, that could be.
So that's three.
Wait, who we said? We said Aleister Black, Leo Rush, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch. I'm going to say the iconic duo. I think they're going to do big things. Big things. And then I'll say...
say Kairi Sane.
Kairi Sane.
Obviously, they have high hopes for her.
Big hopes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
Oh, this is interesting. Empire Filth, Drew Compton. He's got a theory. It'll turn out Kurt secured Asuka by trading Bayley to SmackDown, lining up the WWE Three of the Four Horsemen to feed with MMA Horsewoman. Yay or nay, thanks. I think that'd be great. I kind of feel like Bayley needs a change of scenery.
Wait a second. Asuka by trading Bayley to SmackDown. Oh, so you get those three. Okay, yeah, I see what you're
saying. You get Bayley, Becky, and Charlotte all on SmackDown.
Oh, I'd love that. I think it'd be great.
I think it'd be great. I think it would... I mean, granted, if the that horsewoman on horsewoman match happens, it's going to be a Survivor Series, not a cross brand show, anyways.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But it would make sense, I guess, because then all the build can just happen on one show. But it's still weird to me that Sasha's not involved, seemingly at all. But maybe Marina Schaefer, Roderick Strong's fiance, maybe she's not going to get physically involved in that. Maybe that's why.
Oh, that could be too.
So she just had the baby and everything.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That is odd, but no, I.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea, Drew Compton. Too sweet to Drew.
Tommy T. Hey, friendos, what are the odds Shane beats Owens and the outcome leads to Owens being sent back to NXT and reuniting with Adam Cole to form the new Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
I love the idea. I love it. Never would
Never
happen.
Never going to happen. What do you think? What do you think the odds are of Shane winning that match?
I mean, it's got to be 50-50. He's got to win something at some point.
You would think
right?
so. Owens could eat a loss and not really suffer.
Yeah, I know, but... Shane also kind of exists in a spot where...
He's jobber to superstars at this point.
He's superstar jobber to superstars. And if the logical storyline would be Owens going on to face Triple H at Mania or Rumble or something like that...
Then it'd mean he would have to win, yeah.
He would have to win.
It'd be interesting this if there was some stipulation. Like maybe Owens says, okay, I'll take that match. But if I win, I want to run this show.
Yeah, Kevin Owens show.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Nightcrawler. Power rank, the original
power
SmackDown
rankings.
6.
Oh, power rankings.
So we always forget who the original SmackDown 6 were.
Okay, let's see if I can remember this time.
Chavo, Eddie.
Stop. Chavo, Eddie, Edge. Was Christian one? Benoit. And... We're so stupid. There we go. Oh, here we go. Perfect.
Forms.
Edge. Oh, Rey Mysterio. Kurt Angle and Benoit and the Guerreros.
One is either Kurt or Eddie.
I always forget it's Rey Mysterio.
No, Edge is there too, man. That's tough.
Okay, power rank the six. SmackDown 6. All right, I'm going to go with Kurt.
Kurt, Eddie, Edge.
Really? You'd put Eddie above Edge?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Benoit.
Dude, I don't know, man.
Ray and Chavo.
For me, it would be Kurt, Edge, Eddie,
Benoit,
Ray, and Chavo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just swap.
We swap Edge and
Eddie's Eddie. One of my favorite wrestlers ever.
So. No, I love Eddie. I'm just saying Edge did a lot of neat things.
He did do a lot of neat things.
So it's the power. Listen, it's the power. Oh, nice. My order shipped.
That's what I was telling you.
It's the power of this show. It even turned me around on Edge because back when we started, I was like, yeah, I really wasn't watching
Edge. Yeah, you're so
now
so on
I
edge.
Look back, I'm like, he did so many cool things.
He did a lot of neat things. Neat things. Get it right, Steve.
Very neat things. One day we're going to do a count out. 10 things.
Oh, absolutely.
10 neat things.
We just needed something topical to happen to motivate it.
Yeah.
Trevor Powers.
Oh,
powering
okay.
The top five spots.
You're going a bit much on
They're
going to the
happen
now.
In this KO McMahon Hell in a Cell match.
Too much with the button. Okay, that's fine. Get the stop that.
You're going to regret doing that.
I'm going to bring it over here on this side.
So are we going to see a pop-up powerbomb off the cell? No.
No. What is he going to, number one, what is he going to pop him off of?
Well, Shane can like run towards him and he can pick him up and then powerbomb off the cell.
Oh, okay. So a pop-up doesn't
like,
have to be off something.
Side.
I got you.
Like on the side of the cell, he can pop him up and then turn around and powerbomb off. See, but the margin for error for that spot is way too large.
Way too large.
Another elbow off the cell seems likely. One that will probably
God,
connect.
I hope not, man. I don't want him to go off the cell.
I don't really want to either, but there's going to be some sort of creative spot with the cell. There has to be. Shane's involved. He's a daredevil.
I know. God, he's so old. I don't do that anymore. Remember the Survivor Series when he got concussed?
Oh, that was bad.
It was so ugly.
And his kids were right there ringside.
Oh, so ugly. Who went over there?
Orton.
Orton went over
there. Broke character and said, he's going to be okay.
Look, kids. He's going to be in the cameras like right in his mug. He'll be okay. Can we kneel now in prayer for your father? And his
well, that would make it seem like
his
a really huge deal if they did that.
He's okay. He's playing.
If he's downplaying, it's like, he's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
He'll be fine. And he's all Shane's all.
All right, come on. We got power rankings. We got to do.
Oh, okay. Would you stop that? Power rank what? What are we power ranking?
Spots in the Hell in Cell match.
Oh, geez. I don't know, man. Mat wrestling. My personal power ranking.
Headlock master.
Headlock
Kevin
master.
Kevin Owens applying lots of headlock. Headlock on the top of the cell.
There you go, perfect. Headlock at the top of the cell.
Number one.
Collar and elbow lock up at the top of the cell. Arm bar at the top of the cell.
Figure four on top of
figure
the cell.
Figure four. Hey, you know what? This is dangerous. Crossface on the top of the cell.
Oh, oof.
Yeah, top of the cell. Stretch.
There you go. All right, you find a question to answer then.
All right, here we go.
James the Freak Phillips.
Neil
you're too slow.
Neil Atchison. Is this the chat the trivia is on? Just relax, Neil. We got you covered, Neil. He's going to be in the post show, the Patreon post show.
Yes, James the Freak Phillips. Hey, friendos. Terry Funk once said he considers Vince to be the most hardcore guy in the industry since he doesn't have to put his body on the line.
He doesn't have to do anything.
With an ending like this, does Funk's statement still hold up? It's pretty crazy for a 7-year-old guy to do all that.
I'm sorry, man. Terry Funk is the most hardcore guy. Yeah, it is.
Terry Funk still wrestles.
For a 7-year-old guy. And Terry
Funk still
Terry
wrestles.
Funk?
He's older. I think he's like 77 or something
Willikers,
like that.
Willikers, man.
Terry Funk.
Michael Berry. Who's a better bleeder, Vince or Ric Flair? Ric Flair.
Terry Funk was born in 1944. He's 73.
How old is Vince? He's got to be about the same.
Didn't Vince just turn 70?
No, he turned 70 a couple years ago.
He's a year younger.
Okay, 71?
Yeah.
Or 72?
72, yeah.
All right, one more question.
The fun-solved mystery Robert Stack. Power rank. The best headbutts in wrestling history. This is number one Shibata. It ended a career. Almost ended a life. And then he came back in dramatic fashion at Dominion? Wherever it was. G1 final.
That looks great, by the way.
It really does look great. Number two. Who gives the best headbutts?
Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher is really cool headbutts. Oh, you know who gives a really good headbutt? Moose.
Oh.
Moose. Can I? I'm going to do a moose head.
Okay.
And then I go, moose.
Good idea.
Moose. Number four.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit's flying headbutt.
Oh, yeah. Or you could say Daniel Bryan's flying headbutt.
Led to a horrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was legit. Number five, Daniel Bryan.
There you go. All right, time for trivia. Not chat trivia yet.
Neil, relax. This is not chat trivia. Chat trivia happens in the post show, available only to patrons. I'm putting together the chat trivia, the first batch of winners packages today.
Good. You're going to do well today. First,
can I do this? Can I take one of these Okada dollars and slice it up and send out slices of the Okada dollars?
It makes it worthless if it's just a piece of it.
It's chat trivia.
But it's also an Okada dollar. It's worth $100,000.
I can't give them $100,000, but I can give them the symbolic act.
What I'm saying is that it's not the value of that is in the whole thing, not a piece of it.
I think at least one of these belongs to me.
All right. The one you have, you can do whatever you want with.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
I think it's a terrible idea, though.
Are you ready for trivia?
Yes. Big events.
Big events.
Classic, right, by the way.
Big events.
What superstar made his WWE debut by interfering in the first Hell in the Cell match?
Dang!
Mm-hmm.
Big event. What is this? Attitude?
Classic.
That was classic.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Big events. What WWE Hall of Famer was known for carrying a 2x4 length of wood to the ring?
That's Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh!
Championships.
Why do people chant USA for him?
I think he liked America.
But there was nothing naturally USA about him. He didn't wear, like, USA shorts.
No, I know. No, I think he would get in on the turnbuckle and start chanting USA himself.
Next.
Championships.
Championships.
Who defeated Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 5?
Who defeated the Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental Championship? Who defeated the Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah.
WrestleMania 5?
Yep.
Rick Rude?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Championships. Who managed the Iron Sheik during his brief reign as WWE Champion?
Is that Freddie Blassie?
Yes, it is. He's a punk.
Superstar
Freddie
Bio.
Freddie Blassie, I'll make you humble.
Superstar Bio. What future WWE Hall of Famer was in the corner of Hulk Hogan and Mr. T for their main event match at the first WrestleMania?
Wait, what, who?
Who was in the corner of Hogan and Mr. T at first WrestleMania?
Who was in their corner?
Yeah.
Well, I should totally know this.
You should.
Mr. Wonderful was a bad guy, wasn't he? I'm going to say Paul Orndorff.
Snuka.
Snuka?
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I did not know that.
Ooh.
Orndorff was on the other side.
Yes, he was in the actual match.
He was in the match, yeah. It was him and the...
Piper.
Piper, yeah, okay.
With Bob Orton in their corner.
And Bob Orton, yeah, I knew that part. I didn't know Snuka was a missing part of the puzzle. Killed the person. Superstar Bio.
Superstar Bio.
Elizabeth was Macho Man Randy Savage's first manager. Who managed Savage when he was the Macho King?
That's Sherry Martel.
Oh, sensational Sherry, yeah. I tell you what.
Moving on to Attitude Era.
In between her butt cheeks smelled so good. Oh, yeah. Whoa, Macho Man. Too much info.
Attitude Era.
How would you even know that?
Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah.
I want to win chat trivia.
You can't win chat trivia.
Sorry, trivia. Big events. I'm going to create another name and be over here typing away.
Uh-oh.
What former member of the Four Horsemen tried to assist Ric Flair in his match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 18?
Wait, what?
Oh, my goodness.
I have ADD right now. It's ridiculous.
Right now?
Yeah. I have won Tret Chivier before.
What former member of the Four Horsemen tried to assist Ric Flair in his match against Undertaker at WrestleMania 18?
Oh, Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sorry. I was going back to, like, trying to think about, hey, was that RoboCop?
You need to pay attention to the task at hand.
Delivered the best spine buster.
Yeah, Arn always had the best spine buster.
Ever. But that match, when he, like, oh, it was so great.
It was good. Good stuff.
Big events. Attitude Era. What former school teacher was the male winner of Tough Enough Season 1?
Well, Maven won Season 1, right?
Is that your answer?
Maven.
Maven, yes, Maven.
I didn't know he could be a school teacher. Yeah. Championships. What former 5-time WCW Cruiserweight champion secured his first WWE reign with the title by beating Matt Hardy in June of 2003?
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Championships.
What
D-Generation X leader became the first 2-time European champion in March of 1998?
The game Triple H.
The game Triple H.
Superstar Bio.
Okay.
What one-legged superstar competed in WWE?
Zach Gowen.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I have to get this right.
Oh, crap. What college... Superstar Bio. What college did Season 1 Tough Enough competitor and WWE superstar Christopher Nowinski attend?
Harvard. I win.
Harvard. It was Harvard.
I win again.
It was Harvard.
2 weeks in a row.
Well done.
You
get one card. One lousy card.
John Cena.
Who's he holding up there, Eddie?
Yep.
With his green pants. Very good.
All right, patrons, stick around. It's time for chat trivia.
It is time for chat trivia. Thank you for hanging out, everybody. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.